This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, welcome to Breaking Bread, the show where we explore food through culture, conversations, and a whole lot of curiosity. I'm your host, Lo Yijun, a food writer and cook from the Gin and Tonic recipe blog. On each episode of this show, we explore a particular dish, ingredient, or culinary story, and I bring in some food friends and experts to excite us about food. So, a few weeks back, we had an episode where we explored soy sauce and the whole process behind how it's made. And today, we're going to talk about a product that comes from the same raw material that soy sauce is made of, which, of course, is the soybean. I know, back-to-back episodes, or near back-to-back episodes about soybean might make it seem like we're running out of content, but guys, we're less than 20 episodes in, so I can assure you that is definitely not the case. But I think it just really goes to show how important this bean, this legume is to our food culture over here in Asia, right? Because across the continent, the soybean or soya bean crops up in so many dishes and ingredients. Just in Malaysia alone, you have soy milk, soy sauce, tofu and tempeh, and futsuk, which is dried tofu skin, basically. And then if you head over to Japan, there's natto and miso, and there's soy noodles in Korea, and now even bougie soy lattes and soy milk teas are becoming a real thing. So as Asians, soy is very much running in our genes. And this week's guest, Carmen Lau and Joe Lau, owners of Dao, this dessert shop in Subang Jaya that centers around the soybean. And yes, they're siblings, and they're very well versed with soybeans and soy desserts in particular. So welcome to the show, guys.
Hi.
Tell me a bit about your story and how your dessert shop came about.
Dao started with the business that my dad used to run in Ipoh named Wonky Beancurd. So we brought it here to KL. Reason being is because we noticed that there is a lack of traditional dessert shop here in KL. So for example, when you want to have a bowl of tofu pho, usually you have to go to either food trucks or pasar malam to hunt for it. So there is a lacking of comfortable, cozy environment where you can enjoy this traditional dessert, which has been passed on from generation to generation.
Wait, so then does it mean that the soy milk, the soy desserts that you sell, you kind of use the techniques and recipe that your dad uses?
Yes, we are using the technique and recipe that my dad has passed on to us, but we made certain changes and certain modification to the combination of the product. So tofu pho itself, the recipe comes from my dad, but when it comes to adding more new elements to it, we are doing that.
What are some of the new elements that you're adding to it?
So for example, we have one of our bestseller, tofu pho with black sesame. We call it Dao Panda. It's black and white, hence panda. We came up with it is because the texture of the two different ingredients, it's very interesting and it can create a very rich texture in our mouth. So the beancurd, it's light and fluffy, and the black sesame is rich and it's fragrant. So it creates a good combo. So that's one of our bestseller. Also, from time to time, we come out with seasonal product. For example, durian. During the durian season, we came out with tofu pho with durian.
Yeah, I saw that one. How? Who came up with that idea?
We all did. We like to do like
experiments,
R&D, right? And like testing in the shop, and we came up with this idea. It's because, you know, durian is like
very
nobody
strong,
would imagine it to be with tofu pho.
So does it work?
Yeah, the feedback is good, surprisingly.
Yes. I think for Malaysians, if you put like durian in anything, they'll just like it, right?
Yeah. So at the same time, we come up with dao lemak. Dao lemak is tofu pho, but nasi lemak, but using bean curd during the National Day. So it's like a tribute to the to the National Day lah.
Oh, wait, how does that work? So instead of the rice, you have tau fu fa?
Yes.
Oh, then is it salty, savory?
Savory.
Oh,
actually,
I see.
In China, people eat tau fu fa in savory form.
Yeah, right? And, and then they put like spring onions or like shallots.
Yes. So we just we got inspired from that, and we came out with dao lemak, which also, to our surprise, it was quite well accepted.
Received it, yeah. Right. So do you have it with like sambal and rendang and all the sides?
No rendang, because our shop is mainly we don't serve meat.
Ah, okay.
So we have sambal and egg and some peanuts, ikan bilis.
I don't know. In my head, it still sounds like a weird concept, but I'll have to try it for myself at some point. Right. So you guys came from Ipoh, right? What made you decide to come over to KL and not, I guess, start a shop like Dao in Ipoh itself? Because that's your hometown, right? That's where you grew up and that's where you are familiar with. So why come here and not stay there?
This is because, as I mentioned earlier, it's the lacking of the traditional dessert shop in KL.
Right. But then in Ipoh, the traditional dessert scene is quite big, right? Yeah. Is it bigger than in KL?
It is bigger as in like they have more roadside stalls. Mm-hmm. But because of the traffic and people are rushing up and down in KL, roadside stall don't seem to be like a main thing here in KL.
Mm.
So in Ipoh, people don't mind queuing under the hot sun, don't mind dining at the roadside. But in KL, people will just buy takeaway mostly.
Mm.
So we think it's nice if they can have like a cozy environment where they can just sit and enjoy and chit-chat with their friends.
Yeah, but in KL, you must have seen some of the soy milk or soy...
Yeah.
Trucks around,
trucks,
right?
Yeah.
Like the Soya King one. I love those. It's like you can just tap out and go back home, right? Yeah. But you're right. I think in KL, there's a lot less of these shops where people want to sit down and dine there, right? Mm. Mm. But in terms of the taste of the tau fu fa, the soy milk itself, do you see a difference between the ones in Ipoh and the ones in KL?
For me, it's the same because I'm in charge in the production.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I will assure the quality of it to be the same as Ipoh.
Right. But then other than the ones that you produce yourself, like have you tasted
tasted a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
And are they very very different? Like the ones that are outside, like say the Soya King ones?
Yeah, they are quite different for me.
From the Ipoh ones?
Yeah.
Oh, like in what sense? How
their texture is different. And I wonder is it the bean they use? Or they add some chemical in order for it to be preserved.
Ah.
So it tastes a little bit like siap-siap, I would say.
It's okay, you can say siap-siap.
Yeah, just siap-siap. The flavor. Yeah, after the aftertaste. After eating it.
I see.
So it doesn't feel comfortable for me.
Right. Oh, cool. Mm. I never noticed that myself. But
That's for tau fu fa. If for soy milk, it's mostly the same. Just depends on the reach of flavor is different. Our soy milk is more rich than the others, I can say.
Mm. Oh, yeah. So you actually brought in some soy milk with you, right? And you're saying it's richer than the others. So I'm gonna taste it and see for myself. but you also have, while I taste this, right, you also have brought another bottle here of black soy milk.
Yeah.
But it's not actually black. It's green.
Yeah.
Right? How does it... is it tastes different and what's special about it?
It's actually made out of black bean. That's why it calls black soy milk. But instead of just grinding it in its own form, we take out the skin before we do it.
Mm.
So the bean itself is actually green. Yeah, in inside.
Right.
Mm.
Oh. But then is it considered a soy bean as well? No, right?
Yeah, it's a soy bean.
Yeah. Mm. We remove the outer husk of the bean, so the inside of the bean is actually green, and we use only the inside of the bean to create this drink. The reason being it's richer in texture, and it's smoother without the skin.
You're right, this is very rich, your regular soy milk.
Mm. Yes.
Do you think that a lot of soy milk producers out there, they dilute theirs a bit? Because this is a lot feels maybe. A lot thicker.
Yeah.
And there's a certain like mouthfeel to it, right?
Yeah.
There are a few maybe elements or reason why theirs might be diluted.
Mm-hmm.
It's because with this thickness, the soy milk won't last for too long.
Ah, I see.
Because the bean content is high.
Ah.
That is one of the reason. But despite that, we just advise our customer to finish it within that day itself or the next day.
Mm. Okay, I'm going to try some of this black soy milk.
Mm. Maybe you couldn't difference it because once you have already drank the one.
You might need to take some water.
Yeah, it's not... I'm surprised it's not like super different. I guess it's not super different. Yeah, I guess the black one is a bit nuttier, would you say?
Yes.
And there's a... I'm not sure. There's a feeling behind it as well at the end.
Mm.
It's like a fresher taste to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But actually, right, how is soy milk made? How is it extracted from the soybean?
First of all, the soy has been soaked for like 4 to 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Right after that, then we will grind it with a machine. And after that, we will extract the juice of the soy with using a filter machine. Yeah, so right after that, we just put in a boiler and we add on sugar and some of our secret recipe. Yeah, and it is made.
Oh, so you have like an extra secret ingredient that you add in?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm very curious. But I guess you can't share.
Yeah.
And as for tofu fa, then how is it made? Is it similar to
tofu,
right?
Yeah, it's quite similar to soy milk, uh-huh. Just that the final process, we add on a type of coagulator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just to make it in the tofu form. Yeah.
Cool. And this recipe has been... the same since like
has been decades
ago.
Decades, yeah.
So when your dad comes over to KL and try your soy milk and tau fu fa, does he have any comments? Does he give you like feedback? Oh, this is wrong.
No,
this is not my traditional recipe.
Yeah, for the recipe he gave, I just follow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for the add on, he got nothing to say that because those are just different kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. And has he taken inspiration from some of the stuff that you've added on and used it in his place in Ipoh?
For Ipoh, Ipohrians, they are mostly more
traditional.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to now take a quick break. I've been speaking to Carmen and Joe Lau from Dao Dessert Shop in Subang Jaya. When we return, we'll talk about the evolution and future of traditional soy desserts. Stay tuned. You're listening to Breaking Bread on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Breaking Bread, the show where we go silly over soy. I'm Jun, and I've been speaking to Carmen and Joe Lau from Dao. Actually, is it pronounced Dao? Because you have like a...
Dao?
Because it's Cantonese, right?
Yes, it's Cantonese, correct.
So they brought me some soy milk drinks, and we've just been drinking it and talking about how soybean and the different desserts they've made are doing in Subang. But now, let's talk a bit about the, I guess, history and tradition behind many of these soy desserts. So as you were saying, like in China, people have soy milk or tau fu fa in kind of like a savory setting, right? So they put spring onion, sometimes even like flaws or fried shallots on it. And have you tried selling those? Or do you think like in Malaysia, there's not much of a demand for that?
There might be a demand for it, but because the whole soy milk in a shop concept is kind of still new, so and we have only been open for a year now. So for now, we would like to explore more creative way in having tau fu fa or soy milk, but in a way that Malaysian can accept or familiar with. So it's like sweet on sweet instead of like sweet on savory on sweet, which might be something very new, and probably in the future we will explore it. But right now we are looking for other more acceptable elements to be added on it.
Mm. And I've noticed like at your dessert shop, right, a lot of your crowd is from, I guess, the younger generation, right? Especially because you are based in Subang. And I think this is very different from the more traditional soy dessert shops out there. Probably in Ipoh, a lot of the patrons who go to these shops are from the older generation,
yes.
Right? Has it been hard trying to attract all these younger people to come? And do you see a difference in their taste buds?
For the younger crowd, they like the environment to be more comfortable, like a place where they can hang out with their friend, chit-chat after classes, come and have a bowl of tofufa before they go on with their day. Mm-hmm. What we notice is some of the younger crowds, after they try our tofufa or soy milk, they will actually head home and bring their parents or grandparents even to visit our shop, which we are very proud of.
Yeah.
Very happy about. So maybe, say, for example, Sunday after their brunch with their parents, family day, right? They want a place to spend, to have dessert. But maybe this older generation, they couldn't accept a lot of the very modern dessert, for example, like bingsu, because it's cold, because mm-hmm. it's too sweet, right? But we are glad that we create a place for them to gather, to spend their day with us.
Mm.
Yeah.
What other challenges have you faced, though, within your 1 year of being in business? Is price an issue? Because a lot of the more traditional shops, especially in Ipoh, the soy milk or like daojiangsui is like quite cheap, right? Like 1-2 ringgit. And at your shop, you sell...
For something.
Has that been a challenge?
The price in the beginning, yes. In mm-hmm. the beginning, before they try our product, when they look at the menu, they look at the price, they have a perception that, oh, this shop charge on a higher scale, you know? Mm-hmm. But once they try our product, like you said just now, soy milk is quite thick.
Mm.
So they can tell that we are using the good ingredients, we are putting in the effort to make the products.
Mm.
So our quality has been consistent all this while. And so all these small details makes them understand that why we are actually charging slightly higher than mm-hmm. the traditional, say, soya truck
yeah.
or pasar malam stall.
And I guess because you're in a shop lot as well,
yes.
right? So you have to pay rent and everything. Yeah. And it's,
but once they try it, they get the taste of it.
And it's better
yes.
than the traditional.
Yeah, we don't hear complaint after that. Yeah,
cool. I guess nowadays there's like a whole rise of veganism and milk alternatives, right? People are putting soy milk, oat milk into their coffees and teas. Do you see that affecting your business?
Yeah, personally, I'm lactose intolerant, so...
You've grown up with soy milk all your life, right?
Recently, I've been substituting soy milk with everything. I use it to make smoothie, pancakes...
Oh.
Eating my cereal with it.
Right.
Yeah, so that's like my go-to beverage.
Okay.
So I don't use milk. And a lot of my customers, they, for example, like pregnant women, or because this is a very high nutrition, has very high nutritional value, and it does not upset the tummy. So I think it's a very good alternative. And in the future, definitely we will explore, or we will pass on this information to the public, that the benefit of it and what they can use soy milk to substitute for.
Mm. What other, I'm curious, like what other ideas or experiments that you have that are happening right now at your shop?
We are coming out with soy ice cream. We call it Sundao Sunday. So we will be coming out with an ice cream. It uses soy milk, which is the main component. And from there, you can taste the fragrance of the soy milk.
Mm.
We don't add any other flavor. It's just original.
Right, yeah. Okay. So you're not making like, I guess, chocolate ice cream with a soy base. It's just a soy
yet.
Ice cream,
yeah.
Right?
So maybe when you drink the drinks, you drink it too fast, or you don't get to taste the fragrance of the soybean, mm-hmm. right? But with the ice cream, you definitely will. So please come and try it.
And any future plans for like expansion or anything for DAO?
Yeah, definitely we are looking to expand.
Mm-hmm.
We will want to have more outlets where people can enjoy our product, because we'll be receiving complaints from a customer. Subang is too far. SS15 is too jam.
Oh my god! Yeah, SS15 is super jam now
because of the
bubble tea, right? The bubble tea street. Oh my god! Like,
Subang is too far and it's too jam. Nobody wants to go to Subang.
Oh, but actually, are you guys thinking of doing like soy bubble tea? Because there are some places that are doing that out there already, right? And because the SS15, that road is all about bubble tea,
we will stick to our specialty, our niche.
Right.
We have no plan joining the rivalries.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on to the show, guys. It's been
fun. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's all we have for this week's show. For more episodes, head to www.bfm.my or find us on iTunes, Spotify, and on the BFM app. And if you're hungry for more funky food writing and recipes, you can check out my blog at junandtonic.com. That's junandtonic.com. I'm Jun, and you've been listening to Breaking Bread on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.